This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. See if you try.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome, friends, heathens, and I'm not going to say countrymen and women, because, as Thomas Paine put it, the world is my country, and to do good, my religion.
I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, and we have a lot of listeners in other countries as well. This is the April 13, 2013 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. Free Thought Radio is produced and broadcast in Madison, Wisconsin. So hello to all you regular listeners in Madison who are hearing the show while you're doing your taxes at the last minute.
And maybe next year, after we win our parish exemption federal lawsuit, your taxes won't be so high when members of the clergy will have to start paying their fair share.
That's right. Right now, clergy don't have to report their housing payments, their rent or housing expenses as income.
And that includes, you know, their pools or their gardening expenses or their re-roofing it. It's really a huge handout.
I mean, that's just something, any of us would want to take a break like that when we're doing our taxes each year. So our Freedom From Religion Foundation lawsuit is challenging that unfair religious favoritism.
Yeah, and there's some discovery going on right now about that, and we'll keep you informed about the progress of that case and our 12 other FFRF lawsuits. And by the way, two of those 13 lawsuits, three total, are against the Internal Revenue Service because of unfair favoritism to churches and preachers and things. And the hottest one, the one that seemed to grab the public attention, was filed after the election against church electioneering and the lack of enforcement by the IRS. And we are seeing, well, they're asking to dismiss our case, and then we'll be replying next month. And then we have my favorite, which is suing over the fact that churches do not have to file accountability to the federal government in the form of the Form 990, which we have to file and all other tax-exempt groups except churches have to file.
So who's afraid of the IRS? We aren't. We're going after them. So also, hello to you listeners. Dave raised his hand over there, our producer. What are you hiding, Dave? So hello, all you
Just
listeners.
Just a healthy fear.
Yeah. Well, no one wants to get audited, but if you cross all the T's, and nothing to fear. Hello, all you listeners in California and in Michigan and in New York and in Missouri and the almost 15,000 of you who regularly download the podcast.
Free Thought Radio is, as you probably know, the weekly production of FFRF, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're based here in Madison, Wisconsin, but we're national and North American group, and we are the largest association of non-believers, atheists, agnostics, or whatever you like to call yourself, in the United States and in North America. And we have two purposes. We have more than 19,000 members. We need to be up to 20. So if you're not a member and you're a regular listener, I'm not going to say shame on you, but we would certainly encourage you to join us today at FFRF.org.
And it's deductible, so that'll help on
there
next
you
year's
go.
Taxes.
Yes. So think strategically here. And we have two purposes, and part of your membership is going to go toward keeping religion out of government. We have four staff attorneys, we have interns, we have litigation, trying to keep that, to buttress Thomas Jefferson's wall, a separation between church and state.
Our guest today on the second half of the show will be Don Britton.
Now, I should say to listeners, we're spelling that D-A-W-N,
Dawn.
Like the start of the day, Dawn, not Don.
Well, that's what I said, Don.
Well, see, you're from California, so you can't even hear what you're saying. But we have a woman, Dawn.
Dawn.
That's right.
There's a difference between Dawn and Dawn. Well, as I said, our guest today will be Dawn Britton, one of the people who's complaining about a war memorial in Mingus Park in the city of Coos Bay, Oregon. Not Oregon.
Yes, like say it right.
Like you sometimes say here in Wisconsin. Coos Bay, Oregon. In Mingus Park, there's a Christian cross on this war memorial.
Basically, the war memorial is just a little kind of stone pedestal, and then there's a huge cross on it.
So we heard, if you listened to last week's show, we heard Dawn being interviewed last week on TV, local TV, so we want to hear more of her story.
Yeah, we'll get an update on that. It's getting very heated. Now, Dan, I've been requesting for, I think, more than a year that you return to your joke of the week, and I think you've got one, don't you?
Well, yes. Joseph Cunningham sent us a joke last week.
Joe is a longtime Illinois member. He's a life member, and he's also serving on FFRF's governing body.
So the joke he sent was, some time ago, there was a big dinner party in New York at which a well-known but kind of irreverent actor was present, and he was something of a free thinker. And so when the hour for starting the meal came, the Toastmaster, who was a very devout religious man, he discovered that there was no minister of the gospel present, though he had invited several of them. He didn't know what to do, how to say grace, how to start the meal. So in this emergency, he turned to the actor and he said, hey, you're an actor, so could you give thanks? And the actor said, oh, sure I could. So he stood up, he bowed his head, and in the middle of a deep hush, he said, for there being no clergyman present, let us thank God.
So thank you, Joe. It's a cute joke. So I did mention Thomas Jefferson already, and today happens to be Thomas Jefferson's birthday, depending on which calendar you're using. Now we're using the current calendar. And it's actually April 13th is the birthday of two famous freethinkers, at least. And
this would have been Jefferson's 270th birthday. He was born in 1743.
Yeah, he'd be one of those biblical patriarchs if he were still alive today. And Christopher Hitchens was born April 13th, 1949. And that is sad because, Dan, that's the same year you were born. So he died way too young.
That's right. Christopher Hitchens, the author of God Is Not Great, died in December 2011. He spoke at our FFRF convention in 2007 here in Madison, Wisconsin.
And before he spoke, I had given him a free thought calendar for the year that we had produced. It had his birth date and name in it, and he was very pleased, and he was very interested. I mean, he was fascinated with it. And so listen to some of the opening remarks from the convention that year.
The 2007 Emperor Has No Clothes Award, Christopher Hitchens Freedom from Religion Foundation. We just said it right here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, thank you. For ladies and gentlemen, comrades, friends, brothers, sisters, for coming. Thank you for the calendar. My birthday is the 13th of April, which is the same birthday as the author of Virginia Statute on Religious Freedom, Mr. Jefferson. I took my oath at his memorial in Washington, swearing to, particularly, I wrote it in, uphold the separation of church from state, as bodied forth in his letter as president to the Baptists of Danbury, Connecticut, who were frightened of persecution. Frightened of persecution from whom, by the way? The Congregationalists of Danbury, Connecticut. Anyway, the world knows, though it doesn't know that, the reply that he gave said that there shall ever be a wall of separation between church and state in this great republic, and I proudly affirmed as much, and I have been going around the South promulgating my new slogan in which I ask you to join me. Mr. Jefferson, build up that wall. That's an accidental preface given me by our generous host. I didn't realize I was going to be able to say that, and I did feel I might give you a brief report on the campaign trail, on the swing through the areas of piety. I don't ever claim to feel or detect the finger of the divine, certainly not in my own arrangements. But I guess it was lucky that in the first week, as I was in North Carolina, the carcass of Jerry Falwell was found unraptured. slumped on the floor of the mediocre degree mill of an office in Virginia. And I was able to say, though they tried to bleep it on, I think it was Hannity and Combs, and I was terrified for a minute that Dan was going to tell this for me, but that had he been given an enema, he could have been buried in a matchbox. So good are things these days with YouTube and other things my children can do and I cannot, that apparently I was lip-read saying that, even though they bleeped it out. So it got said on the air anyway. So let's not say that all the victories are to the wicked side.
Well, there's classic Hitch. So, and now he was bringing up the importance of working for separation of church and state so much so that when he took his oath of citizenship, he worked it into it. And so we do want to celebrate many legal victories that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has had in the last month or two. And in fact, it takes three typeset pages of our tabloid newspaper in the April issue to list over 24 victories, recent victories that our legal staff had using education and persuasion, writing letters and objecting and calling public officials' attention to violations of the separation of church and state. So we thought we'd, in honor of Christopher Hitchens and Thomas Jefferson, who share their birth date, recite some of these. And I thought I'd start with one that's close to our heart here in Wisconsin, which is that our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, had been negotiating for a while with a church used as a polling place in Brown Deer, Wisconsin, that has a particularly cheesy picture of this smiling, grinning Jesus who looks a little Charles Manson-ish, right in front of the polling sites. And he did finally get that poll. The church is no longer a polling place. So that is a major victory. You want to probably get a copy of our April issue Free Thought Today in order to see this picture because it's priceless. Now, what else do we have?
Well, Andrew Seidel also has been very busy. An Oklahoma school district superintendent instructed teachers not to promote religion in classrooms after corresponding, hearing from us. The teachers were promoting their own particular views of the creation-evolution controversy, and Andrew wrote a powerful letter, and so that was a strong victory in that school.
And you'll want to read the whole thing because the superintendent put his foot in his mouth and on creationism, and the dialogue is very entertaining, and it was an all-around victory.
And the Mexican Fest, have we talked about that yet on our show?
Well, we haven't talked about ending the violation.
The festival in Milwaukee, a Mexican Fiesta, will no longer give the attendants discounts for attending Catholic Mass, according to the terms of a settlement with one of our members, Richard Halas, in Wisconsin. Patrick Elliott handled that complaint.
And that took more than a year to stop. It's a violation of the Civil Rights Act. A soccer coach at a Charleston, South Carolina suburban school will no longer be leading prayers before matches. And the coaches at all the middle and high schools are getting a primer on keeping religion out of the classroom. The Gideons will no longer be distributing New Testament Bibles to fifth graders in Grove, Oklahoma School District. The U.S. Air Force has removed a commando prayer from the side of one of its aircraft. Tennessee Teachers Bio isn't going to be promoting religion. We put an end to religious bullying in an Oklahoma school against a second grader by her religious teacher. We warned schools about lunchtime prayer being illegal in Albertville, Alabama, and they're going to stop it. We petitioned the town of Stratton, Ohio, to remove a large display of a Latin cross from its municipal building, and that's a major win for Rebecca Markert, our senior staff attorney. We've got Christ off the wall at a Florida VA facility. We stood up to a bullying bus driver in, I think that was Honolulu, who was religious and going after two gay girls. Liz Cavell stopped public funding at a health clinic, stopped promotion of religion at a publicly funded health clinic in Missouri. And they go on for another page. So kudos to all our staff attorneys, Rebecca Markert, Patrick Elliott, Liz Cavell, and Andrew Seidel, for a lot of major victories. It's very important to keep educating.
Keep fighting the battle of church and state. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio. And we're back with Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And by the way, we played a bit of Christopher Hitchens' address to the FFRF convention in 2007. You can go to FFRF.org, look for the outreach link at the top of our homepage, and click on conventions and convention archives. You can see the whole speech.
Here's a song by Tim Minchin. It's called Thank You, God. An acquaintance of his named Sam had just proved that God is real because God had healed his mother's glaucoma.
Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mom. I had no idea about it suddenly so clear. Now I feel such a cynic. How could I have been so dumb? Thank you for displaying how praying works, a particular prayer in a particular church. Thank you, Sam, for the chance to acknowledge this omnipotent ophthalmologist. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mom. I didn't realize that it was so simple, but you've shown a great example of just how it can be done. You only need to pray in a particular spot to a particular version of a particular God. And if you pull that off without a hitch, he will fix one eye of one middle-class white schnip. I know in the past my outlook has been limited. I couldn't see examples of where life had been definitive, but I can admit it when the evidence is clear as Sam's mom's new cornea. And that's extremely clear. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mom. I have to admit that in the past I have been skeptical, but Sam described this miracle and I am overcome. How fitting that the sighting of a sight-based intervention should open my eyes to this exciting new dimension. It's like someone put an eye chart up in front of me and the top five letters say ICGOD. Thank you, Sam, for showing how my point of view has been so flawed. I assumed there was no God at all, but now I see the cynical. It's simply that his interests aren't particularly broad. He's largely undiverted by the starving masses or the inequality between the various classes. He gives out strictly limited passes, redeemable for surgery or two-for-one glasses. I feel so shocking for historically mocking you. Your interests are clearly confined to the ocular. I bet given the chance, you'd eschew the divine and start a little business selling contacts online. Me, Sam, what are the odds that if history's endless parade of gods, that the God you just happen to be taught to believe in is the actual God, and he digs on healing, but not the AIDS-ridden African nations, nor the victims of the plague, nor the flat-addled Asians, but healthy, privately insured Australians with common and curable lens degeneration. The story of Sam's is but a single explanation, a surgical God who digs on magic corporations. No, it couldn't be mistaken, attribution of causation, born of a coincidental temporal correlation, exacerbated by a general lack of education, vis-a-vis physics in Sam's pious congregation. It couldn't be that all these pious people are liars. It couldn't be an artifact of confirmation bias, a product of groupthink, a mass delusion, an emperor's new clothes style, fear of exclusion. No, it's more likely to be an all-powerful magician than a misdiagnosis of the initial condition, or one of many cases of spontaneous remission, or a record-keeping glitch by the local physician. No, the only explanation for Sam's mum seemed, they prayed to an all-knowing super being, to the omnipresent master of the universe, and he liked the sound of their muttered verse. So for a bit of a change from his usual stunt of being a sexist, racist, murderous, he popped down to Dandenong and just like that used his powers to heal the cataracts. Sam's mom, Sam's mom. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mom. I didn't realize that it was such a simple thing. I feel such a ding-a-ling, what ignorant scum. Now I understand how prayer can work.
a particular prayer in a particular church in a particular style with a particular stuff and for particular problems and I'm particularly tough and for particular people, preferably white and for particular senses, preferably sight, a particular prayer in a particular spot to a particular version of a particular God. And if you get that right, he just might take a break from giving babies malaria and pop down to your local area to fix the cataracts of your
And that's Tim Minchin singing at the Royal Albert Hall with a full orchestra. Thank you, God. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. We're going to talk with the Oregon activist, Don Britton.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I've heard about your hero, Joshua, but his accomplishments are not so great. Because there's none like Thomas Jefferson and the wall between church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come tumbling down.
This is Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
And that was Dan singing The Battle of Church and State. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And there is none like Thomas Jefferson and the Battle of Church and State. And what better way to honor Jefferson's 270th birthday today than by continuing the fight to bolster his wall of separation.
Last week, we played some TV coverage out of Coos Bay, Oregon, about our protest of a war memorial with a Christian cross on top of it. Here's just a repeat little excerpt of the story that we ran last week from KCBY News.
Don and Jan are members of the South Coast Secular Society. They believe the cross on top of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial is exclusionary, unpatriotic, and against the law.
I think it's very discriminatory, and it's telling people, you don't belong here. This is a Christian area, and if you're not one of us, you're excluded.
Jan says he's a Vietnam veteran, and he'd rather see an American flag or an eagle displayed.
Yeah, I feel a little cheated because they didn't count my voice when they were saying all veterans want that cross to stay here.
And we have on the phone with us the woman who was interviewed, Don Britton. And Don is the one who's really started the complaint in Coos Bay, Oregon, and worked, I understand, was raised Catholic, was a nurse, had a business, moved eventually to the West Coast with her husband, retired at the very early age of 47, and is pursuing her passions of writing, foraging, gardening, and now a local activism to keep religion out of government. And you've really stirred up quite a hornet's nest there in Coos Bay, Don.
So welcome. So
welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you so much.
And when did you first complain about this? And what does it look like, this so-called Vets Memorial?
Well, it has been in the park since 1972, and I think it was pretty obscure just by growth. It was mossy, it was deteriorating, and it kind of blended into the scenery more. And what happened is last summer, 2012, the person who put the monument up in 72 requested that the city make some effort to try to spruce it up, so they tried pressure washing it. That didn't help, so then they paid almost $500 to have a company replaster the surface. So now instead of it kind of blending in with the scenery, it was this bright white 7-foot-tall monument. About half of that is in base, and then the other half is a big cross on top of the base. So I got involved. At the time when it was refurbished, it became more apparent. So someone on the South Coast Secular Society group wrote a letter to the city manager of Coos Bay and said, I'm curious about this newly refurbished cross. You know, it seems like it shouldn't be there. And the response was that he would be recontacted within 8 days after the city's attorney had been consulted, and he never got a reply. So as a group, we just talked about it for 6 months. Should we follow up? Should we ask again? What should we do? So I called earlier this year and inquired about it, and were kind of snippy and dismissive, saying, someone from your group's already been notified about this. We already answered your question, and that was the end of it. So then that's when I contacted FFRF to get more power behind my request for information.
And I know you've been working with our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert. And
yes, I have.
I can't remember. I don't have her letter in front of me, but she sent a letter earlier this year, correct?
I think it was in February, yes.
And then did they put it on the agenda for the meeting? Is that what happened?
I think they sent out just an announcement from the city of Coos Bay saying that they wanted to get feedback from the community and believing that it would be a large audience. Instead of having it in the city chambers, they had space at the Coos Bay Library. And I attended that meeting on April 2nd. There was room for 117 people within the building, and then there were another 200 outside.
Wow.
Jan, who is participating in this, and another member of the South Coast Secular Society were unable to get in, and they were also unable to sign up to make a comment. So after standing outside for 45 minutes and realizing that nothing would happen on there, and they just decided to go home.
So the city didn't even have volunteers out there with sign-up sheets, huh?
Well, it was an odd situation. Jan had already been seen on television, and he's gotten some hateful and unpatriotic comments, you know, questioning his patrioticness, or is he really a veteran, and just, you know, those kinds of remarks. So I think he was recognized. He felt recognized, and he said whenever he and the other group member got too close to, you know, congregating people, they would clam up and stop talking. And then when he tried getting inside to sign the sign-in sheet, he felt that a human barrier was made so that he was being discouraged from crossing. So
I guess we should explain that Jan is a Vietnam War vet who lives in Coos Bay.
He's disabled too, isn't he?
He is a disabled Vietnam War veteran. I don't think his actual physical address is in Coos Bay, but it's, you know, the cities are so far apart, and then there are smaller sub-cities in between. I think his mailing address is a Coos Bay address, but I'm not sure if he would say he lives in Coos Bay.
Where is Coos Bay? Is Coos Bay near Portland?
It's along the southern Oregon coast. So Eugene would be a fairly big city, and if you went directly due west from Eugene and a little bit south, that's where Coos Bay would be.
Now, I looked it up, and I think it's very tiny. What's the population?
Well, I think Coos Bay and North Bend are sort of twin cities, and they each have about 15,000 people in each.
And I understand. I understand a lot of churches.
I can't speak to that. I actually know that the town I live in, which is Coquille, has a population of 4,200, and that we have over 20 churches. Mm. So I'm guessing that just because of the climate, the political religious climate in here, I'm guessing that they must have a much larger number based on their higher population, but I don't know the actual numbers.
So you've seen the monument yourself. Do you remember what the wording is on the monument?
I didn't know you were going to ask me that, but it says something like, in memory of the men who served in the Vietnamese War. It's poor grammar. I don't think Vietnamese is the right way of saying it. And I remember when I first saw it, I was almost more irritated by the fact that women were omitted. Seemed misogynistic, but that's not illegal. The part that's not legal is the fact that this giant cross is on top of it.
So, I mean, there are and were atheists in foxholes and the equivalent in the Vietnam War and in every war that the United States has fought in.
Now, absolutely. And I was just going to say, at the meeting that was on the 2nd, I had called that day to find out about what was the permitting process and, you know, who approved it. Was it approved as it was? And what came out at that meeting is that there were people who objected when this monument was going to go up. They didn't like the location. They thought it was ugly or unattractive, and they did not want the cross on it. And so what happened is the city government in 1972 threw that back to the Jaycees and Western Bank, who were the people who sponsored the monument, hoping they would resolve the issue. And rather than resolving it, they just put the memorial up as originally requested without making any changes to accommodate what the city population was saying negatively about that monument going up. So I'm sure they've had numerous complaints through the years too, but that's not public information. But I thought it was interesting that back in 1972, there were complaints at that time as well.
Well, actually, that is public information if they've still got it. So we should be able to find that. But I wanted to get back to this April 2nd meeting that was just held. And you're saying that there were 117 people crowded into this library and 200 people waiting outside, including members of the South Coast Secular Group who couldn't even get in and weren't given a sign-up sheet. I saw some footage from this and some still pictures, and it looked pretty scary. What was it like?
It was extremely scary. I actually was accompanied by my husband and a male friend who came in for the meeting from out of town, because I was worried about safety, and I had called ahead to find out what kind of security there would be. This is gun territory, and I wanted to know if they were going to have a metal detector at the entryway. You know, how would I be protected? And I was really pleasantly surprised, because I was only one of four people who spoke against the cross. There were at least 70 people, would be my estimate, that spoke in favor of leaving the cross as it was, fighting it, we'll, you know, stand tooth and nail to preserve our cross. So I was really a minority. If there were a total of about 300 people and there were four of us who spoke against it, it was pretty scary.
And I can't remember, was there any response from the crowd? I mean, was there murmuring, growling, booing? Or
they had three topics that you could feel that you fit into, and the one category was people who wanted the memorial to stay in some form or another. And those of us who are on the South Coast Secular Society actually want the memorial to stay. We just want the cross part removed. So that really was the category we would fall into, but that would not have been in the spirit of what the mayor was, you know, her intention. The second category was some people who wanted the memorial removed altogether. That wasn't us either. So we had to wait to the end to speak, which was other comments, because that was the only one we felt suited for. So in the second category, two people spoke as atheists, and they were booed. Then when the third category
the whole thing.
No, they actually wanted the same thing we did, but I think that's where they felt their grouping was.
Oh.
The wording just was not very right on the very correct on the three categories, but they were booed. And so I thought, oh, gosh, what am I going to be exposed to? But fortunately, I was received well. I felt that everyone was very attentive. And after the meeting, four people approached me to shake my hand. Two said, we disagree with you, but we're so happy that you related your side of the story in such a professional way and that you weren't bashing religion. And the other two just gave me kind of an all-knowing look. So I felt like there are other people out there who are at least open-minded to see the other side.
Well, we are talking with an activist from Coos Bay, Oregon, about how she took this complaint against a cross that's supposed to memorialize even non-Christian vets of the Vietnam War, excluding the atheists in foxholes and others. And it's a big issue there in Oregon. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. We'll be back to continue our conversation with Don Britton.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our conversation with Dawn Britton, D-A-W-N. Annie Laurie's teaching me how to say that name right. On the West Coast, I guess we say Dawn for the same thing. Dawn is an activist in Oregon. She was in nursing and had her own home business for a while, is retired, and is complaining about a Vietnam War memorial in a city park in Coos Bay, C-O-O-S, Coos Bay, Oregon. And welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Dawn. I noticed that during that hearing that you went to that looked pretty scary, I saw a photograph of one of these huge, burly-looking veterans saying something like, if anyone takes that down, they got to get past me to do it. I mean, it was that kind of an attitude at that meeting.
Yeah, that was the sentiment of, I would say, a handful of people. Someone said every day that it was taken down, he would go there and erect a new cross until he died, and then someone would take over for him. And a number of people said that they would defend it. the city would, or anyone else would not be able to remove it. There were a few of those, but I would say the overriding sentiment was that the city has to fight this thing. We voted you in. You're here at our request. You need to do something about it. That was more the tone, I would say, overall.
Sort of kind of this idea that mob mentality reigns over the Bill of Rights, which is a constant refrain we hear. Now, wasn't
right.
there...
Right, and one of the things, it's like the majority rules thing. Mm-hmm. It's funny because they have pie charts and votes. You can vote for what you want to happen to the memorial, and it's just kind of funny because it doesn't matter if more people want it to go one way. The Constitution is law, and just because it's been wrong for 41 years and it continues to be wrong today does not mean that it should continue to be wrong moving forward.
Yeah, it makes it worse the longer it stays there. Now, wasn't there mm-hmm. a woman that had to be escorted out of the meeting?
I'm sorry, but that just amused me a little bit. Yes, it was funny because she didn't identify what her point was, you know, what she was standing up for. And then she tried to engage the audience, which was a violation of one of the rules set forth by the mayor. She said, don't interact with the crowd. And so she said, and stand up if you believe, stand up. And people didn't know what she was talking about yet, so they half stood, half sat in kind of a confused way, and the mayor put a stop to it. And then I had identified herself as being part of some group. Groups got 5 minutes to speak, individuals got 3, and she exceeded her 5 minutes, and two uniformed police officers did walk up to her. And then she talked really fast, and she just walked off on her own.
So if this memorial had an eagle on it, let's say, then this whole issue wouldn't even be an issue, would it?
Absolutely.
Now, it's one thing for the mob to be ignorant, but it's another thing, I think, for the newspaper. And I was so dismayed to see this very mean editorial in The World, the Coos Bay newspaper. It just came out. And then there have been 3 or 4 very nasty letters, but there was one very good letter that ran, I think, in the last week by a 16-year-old sophomore. Did you see that?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Stephen Daly. We don't know who he is, but we believe his parents own a local business. And we're actually taking a group field trip from the South Coast Secular Society on Sunday. And I have the FFRF scholarship information with some other group information and whatnot that I'm going to give to his father once I identify that he's the correct person. Last year, I gave all of the scholarship information to every high school in Coos County and did not receive any confirmation that it was received, acknowledged, it would be distributed. And I felt like maybe it just went into the trash. So I just want to make sure that this young man who was so brave to make his voice be known at such a young age has an opportunity to apply for the essay contest when he's a senior.
Yeah, when he's a senior. He's a sophomore now. But mm-hmm. weren't you disappointed by the World's editorial?
You know what? I don't subscribe to The World. I hear very often that they sway towards the right, and I would definitely swing in the other direction. And so they do... You know, just like any editor would, you know, you have your opinions in there and it leans in one direction. And so I wasn't surprised by it, but it is disappointing.
It didn't
and
lean.
It's disappointing that.
It didn't lean in any direction. It just fell over flat.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to put a little softness on it. But that would be typical of the perception of the World in this area.
Well, they have been covering...
I would like to just mention that we have a local paper in Coquille, and it's called The Sentinel, and the editor, Gene Ivey, of that newspaper is very open-minded and has strong beliefs in the freedom of speech, and even though she disagrees with my personal beliefs and the removal of the cross, she's willing to print what I write, and so I feel like that's a better platform for us to have a voice within the area. And I don't know that we'd get fair coverage in The World. We have challenged them on numerous occasions, not putting our information in, but I don't know that that's going to change anything.
Now, I was going to had one final question for you. Well, what we are now dealing with, of course, is the Liberty Institute, which is this strange group in Texas that's now dogging everything FFRF does. And they've come in and they've offered to represent the city of Coos Bay. And so we're going to have to see what happens because this is, you know, a pretty egregious violation. I mean, this mm-hmm. memorial is just basically a large Latin cross and that's about it. It doesn't look like anything except a religious symbol. And it excludes over 25% of Oregon citizens. Oregon citizens who are non-Christian. You know, you may be in a conservative area, but Oregon is one of the states with the highest percentage of non-believers. And of course, a quarter of today's vets are non-religious.
That's true. I think those numbers come from, unfortunately, some of the larger populated areas like Portland and Eugene, but I am proud to be from a state that does reflect those numbers.
So you have a group there of free thinkers, the South, what is the South Coast Secular?
Secular Society.
And tell us just briefly, what is that group?
It's just a group of people who are like-minded. We get together twice a month, and we have a one-hour lunch and a one-hour meeting. It's very loosely organized. We talk about science, religion, and irreligion. We talk about possible church-state violations, just what's going on in our lives. We talk about volunteerism, how we can get the word out about our group. And to be honest, we have laid a little bit low since this came up because we are perceived in such a negative way right now. We don't want to stir up the pot too much just yet.
Well, and you know, looking at the media coverage, it's been very heated, and so we don't blame you. But I don't understand why, when this was given by the JCs, don't they have their own plot of land where this could be placed, and haven't there been offers by groups in the town, such as the American Legion, to take this memorial?
To relocate it? I think that that's the case. I know that the city manager, Roger Craddock, has said that there were four options, and I believe that was one of the four options.
Yes, I know that.
I don't know why they just won't move into the modern times, though, and acknowledge all people of diversity instead of trying to accommodate or kowtow to people who are Christian.
And then the person who, I think he did testify, the person who apparently made this memorial for the JCs, who was a Vietnam
War vet. Randy Marshall, he did speak, yes.
So, and when he spoke, he said this very odd thing. He said, well, he knew perfectly well that there were non-Christians who fought in the Vietnam War. So,
and then he said that he got the idea by watching the bodies going to Arlington Cemetery, but Arlington Cemetery has headstones. It doesn't even have crosses. So, but everyone, you know, draws from their frame of reference.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking.
Oh,
you're out of
thank
town.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We've been talking with Don Britton
of Oregon. We also want to thank our producer, our engineer, Dave McCann. This show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. Find out more about our show at ffrf.org/radio.
Join us at ffrf.org. Become a member. You get 10 issues of our newspaper, Free Thought Today. You're missing a lot of news if you're not getting that, and you're supporting our radio show and our litigation and activism. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday